you've spent a significant part of your life in the public eye, and in politics, that's often grueling and personal. But seeing your life curated into a documentary narrative is something altogether more intimate. How did you approach the idea of having your life examined in this way?
Well, partner Paul's got a sheep farm looking south, and far south Tasmania, looks towards Antarctica, really. And I was helping him with the sheep one day, and the phone rang. And on the other end were the producers of this film asking, briefly stating what they had in mind and asking if I'd do it. And I said, well, if it's about the forests and the big trees, I'm very keen to be helping protect those. Yes, I will. And we later had a meeting in Hobart with Laurence Villiers and Rachel Anthony, who had previously done the doco on Cathy Freeman, which was the most watched TV documentary in 2020. It seemed like they were taking on a big job. They worked at it, and goodness, they had all the difficulty of raking through all the archives and so on, not I. But I helped where I could. But they produced the film. They came up with this stunning representation of the forest using laser and other techniques, including finding on the internet this wizardry that a young man in Brittany, back in France, Laurence is of French origin, so, but they found him, she didn't know him, but they found him on the internet, and that's what lights up the forests, if you like, and helps explain how trees aren't individuals, they're part of a community in the forest. In fact, we human beings have got quite a lot to learn from them.
It really is a stunning rendering of this unseen world of the forest, and it's beautifully interwoven into your life story.
We all come from nature, don't we, Evan? And it just shows that relationship is unbroken. Amongst other things, they've got the commentary from Australian and international scientists like Canada's wonderful David Suzuki, and there's Teresa Sainty, the Palo woman, Aboriginal woman from Tasmania, talking about the forest from an Indigenous perspective. So it's a marvellous interweaving of scientific information, but also that spiritual relationship which we human beings have with forests and have so much to gain by keeping those forests.
I definitely got the feeling that you might not have wanted a film that was solely about your life, and that this approach that the filmmakers came up with must have been very appealing to you.
Your feeling's right. I'm not much for biography or looking back. I like looking forward. But my measure was, if this could license some more young people to become active rather than be depressed about what's going on in the world, I'd go for it. Because I was depressed as a youngster for more than a decade, and I keep running into young folk now, Evan, who say, Mr. Brown, why are you so optimistic? And I say, well, you're saddled with intelligence, and if you're intelligent, you've got to be pessimistic about what's going on in the world. But we don't know what's going to happen and whether there's life, there's hope. And the Franklin River campaign in Tasmania back in the 80s is a cameo of what can happen with the planet. It looked completely hopeless 18 months before the river was saved, but it was saved. And a lot about the world, particularly the human world, looks very daunting at the moment, but we should not throw in the towel. And I'm on optimism because optimism fires action. And these days, Evan, I've got working with a lot of other people on the Bob Brown Foundation in Tasmania, and now we're working to save forests right across Australia and to stop the plundering of the fisheries off Antarctica and so on. And our byword is don't get depressed, get active.
I love the note on which you end the film. And without giving away any spoilers, it did lead me to want to ask you about your optimistic outlook and the way you tie into the young voices coming through in the next generation of voters. Is that what feeds your optimism?
It is. And there's something in the air. I'm old enough to have remembered the early 60s with flower power and the hippies and, you know, this revolution of awareness about what we're doing to nature. But it also went hand in hand with a complete change in the way in which women were seen on the in society, and this growing movement to have equality for on the basis of gender, but also sexuality. And I've been through that myself. And but I see, you know, these bright-eyed youngsters now who, the Greta Thunbergs of the world, but three million people turning out, youngsters, against those who are building more coal mines and gas fracking and burning more forests just before the COVID pandemic hit us. It's real hope for the future. And if I can license validate that next generation into taking the world and rescuing it from the older generation, which is building more coal mines, is doing more gas fracking, is burning the forests and destroying the species in them, is marauding the fisheries, I'll be a very happy fellow. Young people inspire me all the time. And I've been with this film in theatres now in Sydney, Melbourne, Canberra, Hobart, Launceston. You know, they keep coming out of those audiences, and there is something in the air that I feel is very positive at this stage in our national and global history.
Given the recent agreements on the safeguard mechanism and the various current state and federal government policies on climate, where do you think the next stage of the fight to save our planet needs to be fought?
It needs to be fought in the forests and in the places where nature is destroyed by direct peaceful action. And in Tasmania, that's happening almost every day of the week. But it also is, I've committed to go to New South Wales if the forest destruction continues there in the coming months. And over in Western Australia, people are trying to fight the bulldozers out of the Jawara woodlands, now currently being destroyed under the authority of the National Minister for the Environment, Tanya Plibersek, when there was an alternative to a ring road around Bunbury, south of Perth. So firstly there, but secondly, we're in a democracy. And as Winston Churchill said, it's the best system of governance so far devised, warts and all. And so we're seeing a change in the way democracy works, with the Teals coming in, with the Greens growing in numbers in both state and federal parliaments. And more particularly, I don't usually read The Australian, but a friend pointed it out to me on earlier this week, a new poll out, more people under the age of 35 intend to vote Greens at the next election than would vote Liberal or National Party combined. Now, that's a phenomenal change. And it's a challenge to both the Labor and the Coalition to get away from this idea of building more coal mines and fracking more gas, etc. And, of course, if Albo wants to go down in history, he'll pick up on this tide of green enthusiasm for protecting nature by ending the flattening and incineration of forests from Queensland through New South Wales, Victoria, Western Australia and Tasmania, by ending native forest logging in Australia, as the New Zealanders did over 20 years ago. Come on, Albo, have Australia catch up.